the world's record for swimming with no extra help at all. Just a person in a bathing suit going down. Used to be, and I don't know if it's been broken, it was almost 280 feet. Can you imagine swimming straight down 280 feet and then swimming back up with no scuba gear, no nothing? The person held their breath for something like 8 minutes, 9 minutes. Incredible. And you know, sometimes we look at the Word of God and we begin to think that we're like that skin diver, we're doing amazing things. But then when you figure that the ocean is, what, about 8-10 miles deep? That 280 feet suddenly doesn't seem very big. So we need to see what is there, but we need to understand that there are greater depths than we will ever plumb. And eternity itself will be necessary for us to truly see all that the wonder of what God had. Here is God's Word. Let us take seriously what He has said and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is a shame even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's Word. Let's bow together. God, we so desperately need to see the depth of inner life You desire for us to have. We live in a society of the surface, of the superficial, of the skin deep. We live in the society of Botox and cosmetics. But Lord, You desire more than just the changing of our shell, but the changing of our heart. Oh Lord, may we see what Your will is and then do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk about the music of the inner life. Bill McCartney, the founder of Promise Keepers years ago, in the days when that was a powerful force for the kingdom of God, said that routinely he had young men who went to Promise Keepers events who would come up to him terribly convicted. And any of you who have gone to the early Promise Keepers know how powerful the conviction was at those events. It would not be uncommon for there to be half or more of the stadium of men on their faces in the middle of the stadium weeping for protracted periods of time when God really began to show how backslidden and sinful the church was and how much they were a part of that. And in that time, many people would come up to Bill McCartney, especially young people convicted of their very superficial Christian life, and would ask him, "What can we do to change our lives?" Because here is, so often, the pattern. You go to some kind of special event, you have some kind of special thing, and for about 3 weeks it's, oh, wow, praise, go, and then it's, and then it's stumble along, and then another thing, and then 3 weeks, and then stumble along. And there were kids asking, "How is it I can change this pattern? What is it that I can do to change this pattern?" And Bill McCartney's number one answer to that, and I believe in many ways he was very right, was get rid of every trace of non-Christian music for your life for at least a year. And listen day and night to godly music. Now I'm going to go a little further because that was 20-some years ago, and Christian music, so-called Christian music, has come a lot further away from, not toward God, but away in the last 20 years. I'm going to say that you have to be very careful about picking good Christian music. But I want to talk, why is it that music is so important? And God gives us a key here. He says in the end of verse 19, sing and make music to the Lord, in your heart to the Lord. Our heart should be filled with godly music. Music has a power that the spoken word does not have. I know many, many people that say, oh, I can't remember anything. I can't memorize scripture. Oh, I can't remember where to find Bible verses. Oh, I can't remember. But I guarantee you, if you listen to a song for a week, you'll know it's what it says. Isn't that the truth? We need to fill our hearts with that. That's why God gave us the Psalms. And the sad thing is we know nothing of the music. We have only the words recorded. They didn't have music in the sense that we have music where they had a written staff and notes and all of that. They didn't have the technique for recording on paper the music that went with the Psalms. We have only the words, but these were all songs. And they were songs that had specific meanings. Let me show you just some of that. Let me give you five different psalms. Five different kinds of psalms. And I'm going to show you how each of us need to fill our lives with those kind of songs. And one of the big problems in the church today is we have one kind of music in contemporary Christianity. Everything's about worship music. And worship music is wonderful if it truly worships God and not the singer. But it is not enough to have worship music. I'm going to show you five different kinds. First of all, there are, have you ever noticed this if you've read through the Psalms? There's a little title under some of the Psalms. And if you start at Psalm 120, turn back to the Psalms with me, and we're going to spend some time there. Look back at the Psalms. Psalm number 120. And starting at Psalm number 120, you're going to see something. Notice it says Psalm 120, and then right before you get to the first verse, there's a little notation that was made that's a musical notation, and it's translated a psalm of ascents. And this begins an entire packet of those, because Psalm 121 is a song of ascents. 122, a song of ascents. 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, and it goes on for a ways. What were these songs of ascent? These songs of ascent, Jerusalem sits on top of a mountain. From whichever direction you approach Jerusalem, you always have to go up. These psalms were psalms that were to be sung on the pilgrimages to Jerusalem. Now remember the Old Testament, at least five times a year, every one of God's people was to go up to the tabernacle, to the temple for special days. They were to appear before God in His holy presence and worship Him there in Jerusalem. These songs were written to prepare people's hearts for worship. So, they didn't just jump in their air-conditioned car or their bullet train or their Mercedes touring bus and take the hour drive or hour and a half drive from anywhere in Israel to Jerusalem that you can do today. They would start a several-day journey. From Galilee, it was over 80 miles as the human walks. Now, I don't know if you've driven 80 miles in the last few days, but it's a far cry to drive than it is to walk. And if you can imagine thousands of people in groups marching up to Jerusalem, and as they did, they were singing these songs. These were songs they were to memorize, and it would prepare their hearts so when they arrived at Jerusalem, their hearts would be ready to praise God. You know how often we don't do that? We who have inherited a greater gift than any of those people going to Jerusalem. We have a greater temple than they had. We have a greater high priest. We have a greater covenant. We have greater promises. You know, read the book of Hebrews. But we don't take the time that they did. They were more thankful for their lesser than we so often are for the greater. And we do not prepare our heart with music to come into God's presence. They did. The Psalm of Ascents. And then there are teaching psalms. Look back one psalm from 120 to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm. But again, when we look at Psalm 119, we sometimes are a little confused because if you look right under Psalm 119, before you even get to the first verse, just like the Song of Ascents, there is something written there. It's a little word, and it's a weird little word, and you look at it and you go, huh. It's the word elf. Not the little character on TV from the 80s, but the Hebrew letter, the first letter of the alphabet. And then you go forward, Alf, Beth, Gimel, Daleth. And you have there the entire 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet laid out. And in each of those 22 stanzas, each one starting with the same alphabet, with the same letter from the alphabet going right through, you have instruction on the godly life. But they're laid out in a systematic way, like we sing the ABCs, A, B, C, D, E, F. These were laid out to allow people to memorize truths about God's Word. And they made it easy. They made it all alphabetical. You were learning your alphabet at the same time you were learning the Word of God. And we need songs that teach us truths. Because the song has a way of saying a truth that penetrates our heart in a way that non-songs don't. I love the line from the song that we had this morning. I'm learning now to trust His touch, to crave the fire's embrace. Now, you could say that in a teaching about how we need to, but there is something about the words of that song that if you meditate on them, will do something about your heart and the coldness of it. So there were teaching psalms. And then third of all, there are prayer psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Psalm 71. There are many others, but just use this as an example. Psalm 71, "In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in Your righteousness. Turn Your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for You are my rock and my fortress." Do you hear the prayer that's being lifted up? There are times when only a song can truly express the depth of prayer we need in our hearts. There are times when the spoken word fail. The Bible says the Spirit Himself intercedes with groanings that are too deep to understand. But the closest we can ever come to the Spirit's groaning, I believe, is music. And we need to fill our lives with songs that express the prayer of our hearts. Songs that when we have no words to say, we can sing that song as this psalm is laid out. This song is laid out for a petitioner who's saying, "God, I'm at the end of my rope. And I need You to come today. I'm trusting in You. Show up." And the words were written exactly for that person to sing back to God the words he had inspired. And we need to have prayer songs. And then, fourth of all, there are songs that rehearse God's actions. They are not necessarily, they're a cross between a teaching song and a testimony song that we're going to get to. A teaching song teaches truth about God, and a testimony song tells about my experience with God, and this is sort of a cross between them. They are a song that describe not my experience with God, but God's people's experience with Him. Let me give you a great example. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, "O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done." And then he goes down through all these different things. Verse 5, "He established the law." Verse 8, "He dealt with the people in their rebellion in the desert." Verse 12, "He did miracles in the desert and in delivering them from Egypt." Verse 14, "He guided them with the cloud." Verse 15, "He gave them water in the desert." And he recounts in this song all of the key points in history in the early days of Israel's travel. And here's a child who does not know the Word of God, or a new believer who does not know the history of God, and simply by singing this song, they are acquainted with the testimony of God's people. Oh, that we need those songs that rehearse the past. We live in a day in which Satan has said, forget the past. You know, you start to talk about history and people's eyes glaze over. I was talking with someone the other day, and they said, what kind of music do you have in your church? And I said, well, we have all kinds of different music. And they said, well, do you have hymns? I said, absolutely. And they said, oh, one of those. We only have contemporary music. I'm sure that's very pleasing to you. But you've forgotten that you didn't invent Christianity 32 days ago when you made a profession of faith. It was around a while before you got here, and it'll probably be around a while after you're gone. And you aren't just this little island unto yourself that you can make it up as you see fit. And so there are songs that tell of the history. And then finally, there are testimony songs. Songs that rehearse my experience with God. Look with me at Psalm 34, and I have just picked some of these out almost at random. There are others that would serve just as well for many of these. But notice Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Why? I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fear. Do you see the testimony? Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and just a little light from heaven filled my soul. He wrote my name above. Songs that recount our story. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Years I spent in vanity and pride. Caring not, my Lord was crucified. Knowing not, it was for me He died at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Songs of testimony. So we have this experience that we need to have this repertoire of songs. This collection of songs. We're going to be going down in less than a month now. We're leaving for a Heart Cry for Revival. And I remember the first time I went down, and Phil and I and Dan Detmer drove down together, and Phil said, okay, it's time to start singing. And from memory, he sang probably 500 hymns. Just all kinds of things. And we discussed the theology of them and the truths they were teaching and then just sang some more. Now you know what happens when you lock a guy like that in prison at midnight? They have something to share, don't they? See, this is why, look at what Ephesians says. Ephesians 5:19. He says, speak to one another in psalms. What are psalms? Psalms are scripture songs. Songs taken right from scripture. You know, we haven't had a youth retreat in a while. But we used to have, we were having two, sometimes three a year at one point. And we always had scripture to memorize. And you know, most of the time, the kids would struggle and maybe get one or two or a couple, or some of them would do all of them, but seldom. And then we'd come back and we'd work on them and work on them to try to keep them fresh in the memory. And yet, often, the kids didn't remember the songs. But there's one song we had at a youth retreat that I don't think any of the kids there will ever forget. You know why? Whoever claims to live in Him must walk like Jesus did. 1 John 2:6. Scripture songs. Songs right out of Scripture. And hymns. Now, hymns aren't necessarily songs in a book that says hymnal on it. Nor are hymns songs written 800 years ago. Hymns are a very specific type of song. Hymns are songs that are specifically about God and His attributes. They are songs that address God in worship. That's a hymn. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise. A hymn. It directly addresses God and His attributes. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God and His attributes, hymns. They don't have to be old. '60s, early '70s songs, In the Stars is Handy Work I See, On the Wind He Speaks with Majesty, Though He Ruleth Over Land and Sea, What Is That to Me? Or the Amy Grant song, When He Rolls Up His Sleeves, He Ain't Just Putting on the Ritz, Our God is an Awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above. Hymns. Songs that specifically speak of God and His greatness. And spiritual songs. Now notice, he says to do all of these. And spiritual songs. Testimony songs. Prayer songs. teaching song. One of the great complaints that I have today about the music that is invading the church, and there is some of it that's very good, but here is the complaint that you and I should have about it. 300 years ago, who wrote most of the Christian music? Men like Charles Wesley. People who had spent years training and learning to know God and His Word. And they were vitally concerned that the words they were writing were not just fun words or nice words or pretty sounding words, but that they communicated spiritual truth that was biblically sound. Today we live in a day and age in which a 13-year-old that got saved last Tuesday and gets all excited, pens some pretty words, and everybody goes, "Ooh, they make me feel good. Let's sing them." Now, there is nothing wrong with that as long as the words are true. But the problem is, most people that have been saved a matter of weeks or months don't have a lot of spiritual maturity. And often their experience and the truth of the Word of God are light years apart. And so we need to be discerning. What is it that the book of Thessalonians says? Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And this is vitally important in music because music has a way of getting a hold of you. I remember years and years ago when I was a new Christian, one of the fellows that made a profession of faith in our youth group was an avid sports fan, and boy, he was always watching sports. And one day he's walking down the hall, and the Lord had been working in his life, and he's just really, you know, God had done something great for him, and he's happy, and he's singing, and he started whistling. And here's what he started whistling. And I'm walking with him, and you know how the things are kind of subliminal and you don't even And all of a sudden I turn to him and I go, "What are you doing?" He goes, "What do you mean? We're walking down the hall." And I go, "What are you singing?" He goes, "I don't know, I wasn't singing." I go, "Yeah, you were whistling." He goes, "I was, what was I whistling?" Anybody know what it was? It was the Budweiser beer song. And the reason that he was singing it is he watched so much sports, and that's all that they played in those days. The old Clydesdales, and he had filled his mind up, and that's what came out. Here's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says. Test everything. Test everything. Hold on to what is good. And you know, in music, that is so important because music tends to hold on to you, not for a month or not for a couple of weeks or not for a day. You know, you can talk about reading a devotion and having a thought for the day, but you know, music holds on to you for decades. And I'm sure that if I were to go back and start to ask you questions, even if it was 5 decades ago, you can remember songs from when you were a teenager. And so he's saying, test this. And so when Paul says, fill up with these songs, he's saying, fill your life with this good music that is going to feed you. Let me give you just four instructions in closing that the New Testament gives about music. And I'm not going to comment on them greatly, but I'm just going to show you four instructions about music that the New Testament gives us. The first one is found in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 9 and 11. So that the Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name. And again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to Him, all you people. Let me give you a spiritual principle from that. We ought to be the pace setters in setting people, showing people what the music ought to be. And instead of following after the world's music and chasing after the world's party dance and this and that, we ought to be the ones who are out there letting the music of our heart come out as an example to the Gentiles of what the whole world's going to sing one day when Jesus comes back. Number two, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. What shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. There's nothing wrong with music that lifts us up, that takes us out of ourselves, that lifts us to heaven. But, Paul says, what? Just because the music's pretty, the beat's good, I like the style, that doesn't mean anything. My mind better be examining, is this spiritual truth that I'm filling up with? And a lot of the Christian music today, it's not that it's evil, it's Hershey bars. It's spiritual Hershey bars. May taste sweet, may be fun, but it has the nutritional value spiritually of a Hershey bar. And you know, there's nothing wrong with a Hershey bar every now and again, but you can't live on them. And you better have your spiritual meat and potatoes and broccoli and corn and cauliflower too. Number three, music should be part of how we express joy. I believe there are two times when music is absolutely called for. Number one is when we are at the bottom. And number two is when we're at the top. Because there is nothing that can express our need to God better many times than music. And there is nothing that can express our joy in Christ better than music. But look at what James chapter 5, verse 13 says. James 5, 13. Is any of you in trouble? James 5, 13. He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Now, that's a command mode, isn't it? It's not a suggestion. It is a command. If anyone's happy, let him sing songs of praise. So, we need to fill our lives with music that when we're happy, we sing songs of praise. Last of all, last little teaching, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And some of you may groan when you see this one. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Hebrews 2:12 says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, sing and make melody in your heart. But the Bible also says, sing it out loud in public. And you know, the Bible says, make a joyful noise. It doesn't have to be perfect. That doesn't mean that if you can't carry a tune, you need to shout it at the top of your lungs and drown out those who can. But You need to sing it publicly. You need to lift up your voice in public. And you say, oh, not my voice. Well, Moses, are you really going to tell the God that made the throat and the voice and the larynx and the how to do his business? I really believe that if you're not filling your life up with music, if you're not, one of the things we used to do when I was a young believer is we used to have contests. Because you know how kids love contests anyway. But we used to have contests with hymns. And we would come up with a topic or a word. And we would go back and forth between two groups or two people over who would run out of songs about that topic first. So maybe the word would be blood, and somebody would start with, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then it would go to the other side. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. And then it would go back, and then it would go back, and then it would go back. Do you know what we were trying to do? Force everyone to fill their insides with songs. And if you're not doing that, you're going to have a hole inside of you. And do you remember the principle that we talked about last week? Remember the Alpo? And you're stranded on that desert island. You haven't eaten in about 3 weeks, and that can of Alpo washes ashore. How thankful and how much you're going to just chow down on that dog food. But you know, if you've just gone out and you've had that buffet, and they stick that dog food in your face, you just go, get that stuff away from me. And you know, a lot of times people fall for Satan's can of dog food because they haven't been at God's buffet. And let me tell you, music is a vital part of that. And if you want to have a full heart, if you want to have a full mind, if you want to continually have your heart directed to the things of God, fill your life up with godly music. And if you want to run on empty all the time, don't. Let's bow together. Lord, we so desperately need to cultivate the inner life. And as your word has declared today so clearly and forcefully, an important part of that is to fill our lives with music. So, oh God, I pray today that you would give us the power of your Spirit and the determination to fill our ears with that which glorifies you. We ask this to the glory and honor of King Jesus. In his name, amen.